KQSS Miami.
It's country and more, Mila 101.9.com.
We welcome Al Gameros to KQSS. Busy month?
It has been a little bit, yeah, especially with budget time and everything. It always is. This time of year is pretty tough. I'll go through my monthly report again.
Yes.
I always bring up the alternative expenditure limitation, home rule. You're not going to know it. It's not going to be on the ballot as home rule. I just want to remind people. It's going to be alternative expenditure limitation, and it's Proposition 412. And it'll be on the July 30th primary election. And this home rule goes on, again, every 4 years, and it reverts back to the 1979 revenues, which is kind of crazy. This proposition has always passed. It has never failed in the city of Globe. And we're able to utilize our current day budget revenue. If it were not to pass, it would be detrimental to our services that we now offer our residents. So a yes vote allows the city to continue to set their budget as presented and only spend the revenues received. It doesn't raise taxes. People need to understand that. It just allows us to be able to spend the revenue that we received. And when I talk about the budget here in a little bit, you'll understand it a little better.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's one of the most misunderstood things and one of the most arcane things. So again, the way the state has it set up is that if this does not pass, then the community has to revert to the spending levels of 1979, no matter how much they have in the coffers. So let's say they collected $100,000 in taxes, but what they had in 1979 was $20,000. Then all they can spend is $20,000. That other $80,000 just sits there. So as Al said, it doesn't raise your taxes. It doesn't raise anything. It just enables the city to spend what it has collected. And the fact that this has to pass every 4 years is utter insanity. But the state, you know, they've danced around it several times about we're going to change it and all this. But so far, that's it. So Proposition 412, and there is virtually nothing to gain by voting against this. I can't think in anybody's position. Normally, in any proposition, there are the for, there are the against. And they've got two sets of arguments, which, you know, you can feel one way or another about them. This, there is not two sets of arguments. There's just, do you want the city to spend the money it has already collected? Yeah, so 412, yes.
No, you're totally correct. So you know that our June 25th council meeting, our city finance department presented the 2024-2025 tentative budget for approval, and we had a long discussion on it. And this is the first step in the process of the final adoption. And that's why I say there's many layers of protection as we go through the budget process that keeps us in line. We have to abide by the law. You can't do anything that's spend money that you don't have. So once a tentative budget is approved, council cannot raise the amount, but it can lower the amount. It has the option to lower it in the next couple of weeks before we actually adopt the final budget. The next step is to post a public hearing for two consecutive weeks in the paper and on the website beginning June 3rd, which they did. And on June 16th, a public hearing will be held prior to the final adoption of the budget. And this is a special meeting because that's not our regular scheduled meeting. So it'll be June 16th at 6 p.m. We'll have a public hearing and a final adoption of the budget. So the tentative budget for fiscal year 2024 and 25 was adopted in the amount of $66,300,244. Included in the budget, which we have to have, is $19 million for, we hope, anticipated grants that may be received during the next fiscal year. If we don't include this amount, this $19 million, and we do get a grant and it isn't in there, we aren't able to spend it. So we're anticipating hopefully around $19-20 million in grant funds that we will be able to spend.
Boy, that's a catch-22, a lot like home rule.
You bet. Yeah, and before we didn't really have we didn't budget for grants because we weren't getting any grants,
right.
And now that they're out there and we're aggressively going after them, we have a grant writer. We're doing very well with the grants.
Good.
The general fund revenues reflect about a 1.5% increase from last year's budget that was presented to us. That include all proposed revenues received in the amount of $19,569,256. So this is what the home rule is. The amount, the revenue that we received is the $19,500,256. So if it were not to pass, it would revert back to 1979, whatever that may be. It could be 7 million.
It could be 700,000.
Yeah,
we
could
leave. Who knows?
We could leave millions of dollars on the table, or not on the table, just go in a coffer, and we couldn't spend it for 4 years. So these amounts show a continued increase in sales tax revenue at around $9.5 million. That's our sales tax revenue for this year, and a carry forward restricted fund balance of $2.6 million. And that $2.6 million is important to us because that money is restricted. We cannot touch it unless we vote on it. But you always want to have that money in case something happens in the future, that you have that money in your coffer to spend. So with that in mind, that leaves an operating balance with a 2.6 out of $16,908.92. So that is our operating budget that we will operate with.
Okay.
So the other one is actually, you know, it's other funds and other things that are spent plus the budget. I mean, plus the grants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really want to thank our city manager, staff, and our finance department for all their hard work to bring forward a balanced budget for council to review. You know, it was a good discussion, a good presentation. And I really want to encourage all our residents to become familiar with the budget process to understand all the requirements of the law in order to create this balanced budget. You know, it's protected, and I'm with you. I don't know why we have an alternative expenditure limitation, a vote every 4 years. It's crazy because there are a lot of guidelines and the law we have to abide by.
Well, it is, and it's no small thing when you say you've got a balanced budget, because there are many municipalities that don't. There are many municipalities that haven't been able to have a proper audit in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about wanting to borrow money, for instance, when that has to come up, if your credit rating is hell, the likelihood of you getting the money is less, and if you do, it'll be at high interest rates. But the idea of being able to balance a budget and also be able to keep up with your audits is very commendable. As I say, it'd be nice that every municipality did this, but particularly in smaller municipalities, some of them nearby, the bottom line is that it's not done. So
yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's difficult. It really is. But it's great to hear that we have that 1.5% increase, because in the past we were always seeing that 2% decrease in our revenue. And that really makes it difficult with all the things that are going on, and keeping up with what the future is going to bring for a city. It's good to hear that revenue is there. You know, we still got a $13 million fire station to build. We have a $2.5 million ladder truck we got to buy. You know, there's a lot of things still going on that we need to make sure that happens, and we have the revenue in order to make it happen.
Now, let me ask you, it's interesting, the 1.5% increase, especially on the heels of some successive decreases. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I think we've seen ever since, again, I go back to economic development, our plan and vision in 2018 when we hired our full-time economic director. Mm-hmm. And it's just as exploded from there. We've seen, you know, tourism, and we spent a lot of money on marketing. So I think it's all having to do with that. Now our big goal now is to provide housing so we can get a population up. We love to see our population jump from around 7,200 and get more to that 10,000 population, which will give us more advantages too and funding.
Oh yeah, that would be huge, because it's nice when it's tourism money and all that, but that's nowhere near as reliable as saying we've increased our population count, our local population count.
No.
And as we were talking with Tim Humphrey, a lot of people commuting on Highway 60,
you bet.
In many cases because they have to. And the idea, if there could be facilities here, and as I say, it's not just housing, it's the whole infrastructure, and it's, you know, it's broadband, as I talk about, and it's schools, which is a real problem here. But on and on, that could change the community entirely. Now, with that in mind, the last time we spoke about the coming project that is going on I guess that's on 60 where the drive-in used to be.
Yes, that's the Marigold project.
Yes.
And they're still we're still waiting for them to come forward with the design, the final design. That they're working on their final permits. We're still anticipating, hopefully, groundbreaking in before the end of 2024 in December.
Good. And the senior housing now that's in the old school?
Yeah, that senior housing, and that was on my report this month. I want to give some information out on that, too. Their website is now up and running, and you can get the information or apply for residency at the new facility.
Ooh, what's the URL?
There are two ways. Okay, so you can go to www.hillstreetschool.com.
Easy to remember, hillstreetschool.com.
Yep, and you can review the site and request information online. Or you can call a number, mm-hmm. a contact number at 928-255-5605. Mm-hmm. And that's Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Okay.
And I talked to him because I called the number too, but it was always answering. Nobody would answer. So I called Gorman, the individual in charge of Gorman, asked him what was going on. And he says, well, since they released that, and that was only like three, four days later, they have received 100 calls that they're returning calls on already.
I'm sure they have, because there's only, 64 units?
You bet.
And there's probably 640 people would like to be in them.
Exactly. Yeah, because they'll give you the answers you want. I don't know what the cost is going to be. It's in accordance to what you make on a monthly basis, but it includes your water, your sewer, your garbage, and then the only thing is your APS, your electric bill, mm-hmm. Which is total electric units. But there is programs out there for seniors 55 and older that'll help you pay for your electric bill through APS. So basically, it's mainly just taking care of your monthly. But again, if you don't have your own residence, you're not worried about upkeep. You're not worried about homeowners, home insurance, and all this. It's all included in this amount that you pay on a monthly basis.
Now, is there, you talk about minimums, is there a maximum? Is it possible that you have too many assets to qualify to live there?
You know, and that's a good question, and that's something that I'd like to find out also myself, because you know it has been asked, but I did not find that out about that.
Now, I went to the website right now, and it's interesting because there are four floor plans, and what they say about all of them is currently not available.
Really?
So, of course, it's currently not available because the building's not built.
Yeah.
We understand that, but it is interesting. So you may want to toggle over to a show only for move-in date and pick a move-in date.
Okay.
Or give them a call. But, yeah, when I saw that currently not available, I'm like, what? They can't all be rented yet.
Yeah, no, yeah. And do they show floor plans and everything on what it looks like?
They sort of do.
Okay.
It depends, yes. See, so here's the one-bedroom. It's mm-hmm. kind of little dark there, but you can. The two-bedroom, the three-bedroom, and the studio. And they give you the square footage. Like, the three-bedroom is 1,142 square feet.
That's pretty good size, yeah.
And, for a three-bedroom, it's tight, but not impossible.
No.
Two bedrooms are 795 square feet, which is pretty much average. I don't think these are I don't think they're the actual floor plans, because they all look almost identical in square, and we know that they're not identical in square.
No, no, because they're using the configuration.
Right.
Maybe the new area is the same. But yeah. the old Hill Street School, they're using the configuration of the building itself.
Yeah,
and the rooms.
I think that is probably what's going on here. So phone calls may be the way, assuming that you can actually get someone to call you back. But and it's right on the website, by the way. And it's easy to remember, hillstreetschool.com.
Yeah.
So that one's
And I did call them, and it didn't, when they answered it, it didn't say, it said no, somebody's not available to answer a call.
Right.
But now when you call, they have changed that, and it gives the whole spiel about the Hill Street School apartments and everything, and they will call you back.
Right. And they've got a link that says let's meet and lease today. So mm-hmm. if you really are interested, this would absolutely be the time to get on this list, because with 64 units, they won't be around long. But yeah, if you could find out if there's upper limits.
You bet.
Because, you know, there's a lot of people who, it's not about the money, it's about finding a nice place to live.
Yep.
Usually, not always, but usually in these deals, they'll have an upper limit.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. All the other thing is interesting. I got a messenger on Facebook from a gentleman, Yuma.
Wow.
That wanted the information.
I'm not surprised.
He wants to move to the Globe area, and he heard about the apartment, so I sent those to him. There's another mm-hmm. gentleman that called even today, and there's a lady that has moved. They moved away from Globe many years ago, and her husband has passed away, and she is looking for a place to come back to Globe, and is
might
very interested in the Hill Street School apartment.
So
these are the kind of individuals that are really, some of them are looking for these new places to come.
Yeah, they're very motivated. Absolutely.
You bet.
And you know, very often with larger projects, and we had that here in the past, is initially there's a lot of openings, and then what happens is people come from Tucson and other places. Next thing you know, there's a waiting list, and they weren't people from Globe.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yep,
definitely, you know, that always kind of gets me. But if you are interested, by all means.
Give them a call. I would call. Yeah, I'd definitely call.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Yep. 64 units is not a lot.
No.
And how many parking places? We're back to that again.
Well, they meet the minimum requirements, which is about 38 parking spots. But again, they're working on different options. And we are working right now to with the transit, the local transit, to have a transit stop right there at the intersection.
Yes.
So that'll be available also to those individuals living there. We're also working, like I said last time, with a three-way stop at Hill and Maple, especially with the kids coming out of school and everything. It'll make it a little safer in that intersection there.
And it's right across the street from Nürburgring.
You bet. And I think he's going to do well with that.
I would hope so, yeah.
You know, because they're building that courtyard. The courtyard is actually going to face Nürburgring, which is a much better view than what was there before.
You betcha.
Oh, my God. It was weeds and a dilapidated building. And now Nürburgring has a real nice view outside.
Yeah.
And I really believe, those residents are going to take advantage
of
that.
I'm sure they will.
You bet. But, and they're shooting for October opening, so we're still on date with that, they said.
Good.
So another topic that we talked about at our meeting on the 25th, we had a presentation made by AIR, Medcare Network, and that's Banner AIR, and PHI Cares, and that's AIRVAC. And they came and discussed their membership plans and costs, because we all know that if you get a flight and you have no insurance, or your insurance deductible is very high, it could bankrupt you.
Now, if you are on Medicare, they have to give you those Medicare rates.
Yes.
And that didn't used to be the case, but it is now. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, if you don't have companion plans, that 20%, that's yours, but the rates are determined by Medicare.
Medicare.
If you're not on Medicare, like you say, you can have $40,000 for a flight.
You can more than that. You can double that sometimes in some cases.
And sadly, the reality is if anything is truly wrong with you in an emergency, you will be air evac'd.
Yep.
They're not going to give you another option.
No. And we're in rural Arizona.
We are.
And that is the key. You know, you could have the possibility of anybody being affected by a flight. You never know.
Yes, and so if everybody in your household is not on Medicare, I don't know how it works with Medicaid. I don't know what that system does.
Yeah, I don't either.
But for Medicare, if you're not, by all means, because this insurance is cheap from what I understand, like dirt cheap.
Yeah, and they are, and that's why I say it's vital to our residents of the community to research and understand these plans and their costs in order to pick a plan that fits their family and needs. Because when you pick their plan, it's not just for one individual. If you pick their plan, it covers everybody in the household.
The household, sure, right.
Everybody in the household.
Right.
So, you know, our research in the past, and we went ahead and did that. I think Globe did it, Miami. I don't know if the county did it, but we paid for 1 year of membership for all our residents in Globe.
Really?
Yes. But we only chose one, and that was AIRVAC.
Right.
So our research shows that you have a 50-50 chance if it's AIRVAC. Because if they're not available, then you're going to get the next closest helicopter. And our research shows that 50% of the flights out of here are AIRVAC and 50% are Banner.
Now, this is interesting to me because now we're calling it insurance, but technically it's almost like prepaid because it belongs to the company you're buying it from.
Yes.
So it's not transferable.
Nope.
One of the big ones here that we see in here all the time is Native AIR.
Yes.
Are they Banner or AIRVAC?
No, Native AIR is the third one.
Well,
we have not got a lot of their, they don't have membership programs, but they have a program that works with you to try and work the cost down and whatever. So they're a different, they offer a different type of coverage.
Well, I if it doesn't happen often, that's one thing. But if there's a possibility that could happen, you want to check in. So would all three, would that be the absolute limit? It's got to be one of those three?
I would, that's why I say you need to get familiar. If it was me, I would look at both of them, Banner AIR and AIRVAC, PHI. Because if you're, so say you have a heart attack, you're at Cobra Valley Regional Medical Center or a stroke or whatever, and you're waiting for a bed or you're waiting to be flown to the valley, you could request the helicopter company that you have insurance with, because it's not an immediate.
You can, yes.
You should be able to request that one. That's who you're flying with. But if you're in a car accident or an emergency on the highway,
no one knows.
Have a choice.
Right, no one knows. How are they going to ask you? Right.
You're going to get the closest helicopter to that accident, and you're going to be flown by that company. So that's a key to remember, is there's always that chance that you could be flown, and you're not covered. If you have one insurance, if you have insurance PHI and Banner Air flies you, it's not covered, and vice versa.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And the plans that we did last year, again, we were excited about it because we wanted to do it. The plan only covers you if you're flown in Gila County. Okay,
so from Gila County.
You can be flown to any county, but right. As long as you're
originated in
Gila County, you're covered. So, but you can upgrade for—it's not even much. You can upgrade for statewide coverage.
Okay.
So that's another thing that they need to look at as they look at these programs and try and decide what's good for their families.
Absolutely think about this, because again, anything serious, you will be AeroVac'd.
You bet.
Period.
Yep.
And you won't be given a choice on that for the most part.
No. And you can't. Yeah, if it's something you can't refuse. The accident they had today, you know, there was a pretty bad accident outside of west of Miami, and you know, even one of the vehicles apparently caught fire. Oh. It was a head-on. But the lady, she was able to, what I understand, get out of the vehicle, or she was taken out of the vehicle, and then she was flown. But again, it's the closest helicopter that's there. She was flown to the valley.
Right.
So.
Right, and it's got to be to a level one trauma place.
You bet. So and the closest level one is where you go. So.
Right, and that's not necessarily too close.
You bet. So I do have contact information. It'll be on my monthly report, but the PHI has a Kevin Gorski. And his number is 812-259-1968.
Okay.
That's PHI, that's AeroVac. And AirMedCare, which is Banner, is Adam Martin. And his number is 480-489-3473. Okay. You call either one of these individuals and they will explain their full coverage with their company.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it's very reasonable, and literally it'll destroy you if you don't have this. Now, again, if you're Medicare eligible, those rates are fixed, and it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I think if you were to get them, I think it's probably around $60 for the year for your whole household.
Again, for the year.
For the year, so, and if you get both, if you spend $150 a year for both of them, it gives you a little bit of comfort.
Absolutely.
So.
I think it should be the cost of living in rural America. You want to. And, you know, sadly, I'm glad we're talking about it, because most people, when it hits them, they weren't even aware that this was possible.
Yep. Yep. And we've heard some stories of people, you know, literally, bankruptcy.
Of course.
Because, you know, if you're faced with a $60,000, $80,000 bill, how do you pay for all that, you know?
That's it.
If you're not expecting it. So it's important. That's why we're going to push it. We're going to bring them up. Both companies, different times, first Fridays, we're going to bring them up. They're going to put up a booth. Mm-hmm. They would even go door to door or whatever to try and explain to people this type of insurance. We don't know yet as the City of Globe if we're going to go ahead and go with it, because we had kind of mixed feelings, because if you only have one, you're really not fully covered.
No, you have to have both.
You have to have both. And that's what we recommend to everybody. Get both. At that cost, it's well worth it.
I agree.
So, you know, there's no, you know, doubt about it. So those numbers, they said call them, those numbers I gave you, and they will give you all the information that you would need.
Excellent.
That's really all I had First Friday. I wasn't here. I was on vacation, so I didn't make First Friday. I heard it was very successful with Lieutenant Colonel Perino and his homecoming and coming back, you know, with the... He's associated with the Black Hawk Down and stuff.
Sure.
So it was kind of, I wish I'd have been here, but you know, we were on vacation. We had a great time, our family, so it was good.
Yeah. You know, the thing I wonder about First Friday this year was like, I know in the valley it was like 118 degrees. And so I thought, oh my God, even here at 107,
it's still warm.
That's toasty.
That is warm. Yeah. I know we canceled one last year because it was so hot.
Yeah.
But this one had been planned for months
with
Colonel Perino. So it was important that did not get canceled for this one.
Well, good. All right. So we'll see you next month.
You bet. And no calls. But
again, there you go. I'll tell you what, everybody talks behind your back. Yep. Well, this is the place to talk on the air. So the next meeting is August 12th.
August 12th, and I have them all on my calendar, I think. And you send me a reminder, which is great. Yeah.
And, of course, the deal is that this will be up on KQSS.net, so you can hear every word of it. If you miss those phone numbers, you can easily get them and everything else, and it will replay on KJAA Sunday morning.
You bet. And another thing people need to keep up on, too, is like this week there's no closures on ADOT. So no road closures this year, this week. What I'm trying to do, and I talked to them today, is to make sure they give, if there's any change, and I will put it on my Facebook so people can look at.
Yeah.
It's vital that people know, because they're changing it. It's not consistent every week. They're changing it every week as it goes along.
Well, that, and of course what happened in this past month, is occasionally things will go wrong. They'll drop some rocks
so
on the highway.
Extended, yes,
you bet. A little extended. And, the idea of, well, you'll just go through Payson, well, you want to take a look at that, too. For instance, over the weekend, there was a brush fire that closed that.
Exactly.
So I would say don't take it as a given. Mm-hmm. And, of course, AZ-511 will also give you a lot of the closures.
Yeah, it gives you them. And the calls I get from residents is that it's a little confusing. It really doesn't give you, like, the weekly changes as to what happened. Like today, somebody wanted to know, is it open tomorrow? So I had to make some calls to make sure it wasn't, because 511 wasn't telling them.
So it's not in advance. They're just actual times.
Yep. They're just telling you a whole schedule. And so we need every week an updated schedule for ADOT.
So this week, what do we have?
No closures.
At all?
At all.
All right. So they can't drop rocks on the highway, because they won't be here.
Nope.
So all week long, happy driving on Highway 60.
You bet.
And then the 15th is yet another week. But you can is this stuff online on anywhere?
Yeah, well, they said you can go to 511,
911. No, it's not. I mean, on Globe or anything like that.
You don't know. If I pick it up, I share it. It'll be on mine, but yeah, I'll see if we can share it to the City of Globe, also ADOT, and I think we do with it, but I'll make sure
get
we
it,
do.
Get it known. All
you
right.
Bet.
Well, good deal. We'll see you next month. Thanks for coming.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So that is that concludes this meeting, and again, it will replay on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on KJAA, 1240 a.m. and 106.1 FM, and it will be on KQSS.net as soon as I can get it there. Monster Hits for Healing.